The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Hello and welcome to At Home with the Lalas, the podcast where Lara Fraser and myself, Lara Pradelska, check in with people all around the world and find out how they're coping during COVID-19 times.
And today is our penultimate episode.
Woo-hoo!
And I know it has been a bit of a ride, but it's a special one as not only do we have an incredible guest, but we're talking about a really important issue that has come up in all different types of places during COVID-19 lockdown, and it's about the idea of rock bottom.
Absolutely, because this has been a ride the last few months, hasn't it, love?
Yeah, it really has. And I think rock bottom means a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
What does it mean to you, would you say?
I think there are different levels of rock bottom, and because it's a very powerful word, and I think it is when you personally think that there's nowhere else to go but upwards, where you've had many, many tumbles and you've reached the end of the tumbling down the hill. So it was very, very interesting to chat with Bryony on her very raw and personal journey, because it takes a hell of a woman to be able to be that honest about their tumbles.
Exactly. And with that, I want to introduce our guest. It's Bryony Gordon.
Yes.
We have the Bryony Gordon on our show today. And today is the day she is actually releasing her brand new book, which is called
Glorious Rock Bottom.
We're making it sound funny and light, but it's a deep, thoughtful, entertaining, amusing, heartbreaking, wonderful, incredible book. And it was such an honor to speak to her. Bryony's written a few books, and I've actually read them all. Well, both of us have. She wrote The Wrong Knickers, A Decade of Chaos. She wrote Mad Girl, and she wrote Eat, Drink, Run, and How I Got Fit Without Going Too Mad.
And her writing style is incredibly honest. It's all coming from personal experience. And we briefly speak about her amazing titles, actually. But what really sprang to mind for me with this title, Glorious Rock Bottom, is there is something glorious in knowing that you have nothing else to lose, and
I
that
agree.
The only way is up. And there's
something very hopeful.
Yeah, there's something. I mean, it's deeply sad to get to a place like that, but there is something very enlightening in saying and admitting that to yourself, admitting this is the worst place I've been, and you know what? The only way is up.
Completely. And I think, Bryony, just like every guest we've had, there is such a beautiful message of hope. And right now,
we need some hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's strange times. I think all over the world, lockdown laws are changing by the hour, by the day. And I think if you have a chance, buy this book, read it, and just be as inspired as we are.
I think also the other thing is, although her journey is about alcoholism and, you know, her journey with drugs and a lot of different things that happen in city life, but the message is universal. And maybe even if you're not personally struggling with those types of things, I think the message in this book can be taken to so many different other areas of life.
Absolutely. We certainly relate to a lot of what she says, I think, in the interview. But you know what? Without much further ado,
let's hear Bryony Gordon.
So much, Bryony, for agreeing to come on At Home with the Lalas to our podcast. We genuinely deeply appreciate it.
Oh, well, I'm glad to be at home with you. I wish I was actually at home with you and not, you know, we didn't have to always do these now via the internet.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, first of all, how are you?
I'm good because I'm talking to you guys.
Book is coming out this week. It's fantastic. Are you excited? What's kind of been the biggest things that you've had to get done?
Well, my book's coming. So the biggest thing to get done is writing it. So it's about my journey getting sober. So it's about the last days of my drinking and the early bits of sobriety. And it's called Glorious Rock Bottom. And it's sort of all about how the darkest moments of your life can actually lead to some of the lightest. And so writing it was like the biggest thing, really. And now I'm at that stage where there's not really much I can do. Do you know what I mean? It's like people will either read it and like it or they won't. And it doesn't, do you know what I mean? But I just hope it helps someone, you know, because it's all about alcoholism, and it's such a taboo subject still, despite living in a culture where we talk more about mental health and mental illness. There's still a lot of shame attached to alcoholism, and it was a shame that I took on for a very long time, and it kept me sick for a very long time. And I didn't think I could be an alcoholic, because I'm like, I'm not at a park bench, I haven't lost everything, you know, but I was losing everything, and I was going to if I didn't sort it out. So I'm just really excited that today I'm talking to you and I'm sober, and I'm nearly 3 years sober, and I've got a book coming out, and like the sun's shining, you know.
Absolutely. First of all, congratulations on 3 years of recovery. That's a huge achievement in my eyes and in many, many people's eyes. I wanted to ask you, somebody that wants to get sober, somebody that is not in recovery just yet, is there any tips you have?
The first thing I want to say is that you're not a bad person. You're an ill person who sometimes, because of your illness, might experience bad things. And I think that's really important to take the shame out, because I remember thinking I was like the only mum in the world who drank to oblivion while in the care of a child, you know. And sorry, there's a massive lorry going down my street.
No worries.
And then I got into recovery, and I realized I was one, like I was just another mum who, you know, like it's really common, alcoholism. So for a start, what I would say is that, you know, you are not a bad person, like, and there is, and you can, you know, you can get through it. It's not going to be easy, but it's not going to be as hard as continuing to drink. And obviously, it's, you know, I was very lucky to go to rehab, but there's 12-step programs that are free and available to everyone out there, which are amazing and what keep me sober, basically. So it's about keep an open mind and try and get rid of the shame and be really, really honest, you know. And it can be done. And the thing is that 3 years ago, I could not imagine a life without alcohol, right? And today, I cannot imagine a life with it. And that is magic. Like, the fact I used to try and create this magic every time I necked a bottle, or do you know what I mean? Or picked up a drug or whatever. I was like, I was trying to get that buzz, do you know what I mean? Like, of life, and stop all the kind of inertia and the terrible, like, depression and all of that I had. And in the end, I was like, wow, I can just do it myself. I can create this magic myself if I work at it. And that's kind of wonderful, I think.
What struck me very much about your book was the supportive husband, the supportive partner you have, and yeah, how great he was during the last moments of your basically before you went into recovery. Is that something that you couldn't have done without, or would you have done it anyway?
I mean, it's so difficult to say, because you're sort of really like, what happened is what happened. And, yeah, you know, to think of it in any other way. I mean, I think I'm really lucky that a lot of people sober up and discover that they're married to assholes.
Yeah.
And I was lucky to sober up and realize I was the asshole, not him. So, and that he was like, okay, but you're not an asshole anymore. Yeah, like he is. I mean, it's funny, like, thinking about it, like, I always used to think he drank as heavily as I did. And then when I got sober, like, the relief on his face, do you know what I mean? And he's one of those people that can literally just have one. Like, I don't know about you guys, but like, He used to say to me, why don't you just have one? And I'd be like, why don't, can I swear?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, so. Yes.
I'd be like, why don't you just fuck off? Like, it's honestly easier for me to have none than it is to have one. Like, I am not interested in it, right? But he does. He's like, oh, no, I've just had a beer. And I'm like, and that's enough. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? And so we're very different in that way. And it's actually been quite educational and helpful for me to see that, you know, you don't, it doesn't bother me, if you see what I mean. Like, it's like, oh yeah, that he's I watch him and I realize why I can never have a drink, because I can't drink responsibly, as they say on the bottles.
So you've got this incredibly supportive husband. Within all of your books, you're very honest and you're very raw. I kind of wanted to know, were there moments where you were hesitant in putting some of this information about your very personal life in? Or because you had that support in within your family unit, was it like, I'm just going to put it all out there?
Well, there's stuff I haven't put in. You know, I've chosen, I've put, like, it's, I think, I don't really know any other way than to be honest. And he knows exactly those things. And we live in, and, you know, I think it's like, either we accept that people do behave like this, do you know what I mean? When they're in the grips of alcoholism and addiction, and that these things happen, and we accept that, and we allow people to ask for help and get well through accepting it, or we try and ignore it and pretend it doesn't happen, and hundreds of thousands of people have to live in sort of like a world of denial and misery and depression because of it. So I don't, you know, I'm not ashamed of, I was ashamed of the way I used to behave, and I was ashamed of the things that happened to me to a huge, huge extent. You know, I was almost drowning in shame. But I don't do them anymore, and I'm not that person, and I've exposed that shame to the light, and it's died, you know. So I don't think we have done it, you know. He doesn't see it as a reflection, you know. This isn't, none of this is a reflection of him, you know. Alcoholism is like mighty powerful, and anyone listening who's experienced it will know that alcoholics put like alcohol ahead of everything, do you know what I mean? And it isn't actually any reflection of the person, do you know what I mean? It wasn't, you know, it didn't mean I didn't love him and I didn't love my daughter. It just is that alcohol had me in its grips. And so, and I hope that's what that, but that's very clear, I think, in the book when you read it, that like, it's that kind of like sudden, like, oh my God, I thought the most important thing in my life was my daughter, but actually it was alcohol until I got sober.
I love the fact that you talk about shame, because for a lot of people in the early stages of recovery or who are still in the grips of addiction or alcoholism, shame is something very tough to deal with, as you probably know. At what point did it switch for you, and at what point did you accept that there is nothing to that you let go of your shame?
Well, I knew that if I didn't, I was going to die, you know? Like, I think my rock bottom was like, I was just hollowed out by self-loathing. I it wasn't, you know, the events weren't any worse than stuff that had happened to me before, but I knew that if I didn't, I was going to be like completely drowned in shame. And I, you know, it had just completely poisoned my life. And, you know, and I knew that if I didn't try then, there wasn't any guarantee that I would make it, you know what I mean? Like in any meaningful way. So, you know, I think shame is, it's like the most toxic of emotions, really. I mean, obviously it serves a very basic purpose and, you know, to stop you from doing outrageous things, but like it can, you know, inappropriate shame. And I just feel for people that might be in it right now, you know, because it's horrible, and to feel so ashamed of yourself and to feel like you're the worst person in the world and all of that. Oh, I'm so glad I'm out of it. You sound very normal.
Yeah. I wanted to ask, obviously your book's coming out on Wednesday, and it's quite a poignant time for this to come out, because during lockdown, I think people that have addictive personalities, whether it be alcohol, drug use or whatever it is, during lockdown would be a very, very difficult period of time to struggle with that. You're in the house, have very little to do. Do you think that there are certain things that people could have done in this time to flip it, like you flipped it, or it's something that has come kind of naturally?
Oh my God. I mean, like, listen, I feel I'm so glad I'm sober. Like, I think if I was drinking during lockdown, I just don't even want to imagine how awful it would have been. That isn't me condemning anyone who has. I really feel for people trying or wanting to get sober during this time, because it's so difficult. There isn't the connection there that you need. Like, we always say connection is the opposite of addiction. Do you know what I mean? And like, of course, there are Zoom meetings and all of that, but like, none of it makes up for that feeling of being in a room with someone who takes you in their arms and says, it's okay, it's going to be okay, we've all been here and we've got through it. And so I don't have any like tips, but I do know that that's my computer.
That's okay. That's all right. It's okay.
I do know that, like, if you were rock bottoming right now, like, surrender to it and know that the only way from this rock bottom is up, right? Like,
yeah,
it didn't get any worse for me. And I, you know, it doesn't matter how bleak or how dark it may feel or may seem to be. Like, there is always light, and there is always, you know, there is a huge community out there of sober, very non-judgmental people who have been through it and experienced it and know it and are ready to take you in and love you. Do you know what I mean? Love you better.
So I want to talk a little bit about the title of the book, Glorious Rock Bottom.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic, because I think one of the things that really stood out for me also was that you said there are many rock bottoms, right? Mm. There was one when you ordered Coke, you didn't. Somebody ordered Coke while your child was at home, and you crossed that line. And there were a few lines. But the fact that it's glorious and that you celebrate the fact, yes, I went all the way down and made it all the way up. Who came up with the title?
I'd like to say it was me, but it wasn't. It was my editor, my lovely editor, Sarah, who has been with me since book one. And she comes up with these like incredible titles, like my first book, which was all about like my crazy 20s. Mm.
Was that Mad Girl?
No, that was The Wrong Knickers.
Oh, you know? Right, yes.
Gosh, that's a great one. Title.
Yeah.
Mad Girl, my husband came up with. But she's Glorious Rock Bottom, she came up with. And I was like, wow, like that's it. And I, you know, when I did, listen, I don't want to like glamorize alcoholism or say, yeah, do you know what I mean? What I'm trying to say is that the worst times in your life can often lead to the, you know, like so much growth happens in the dark. Like that's what, you know, like actually that's when you're doing the growth, the emotional growth, the, you know, the mental growth. Like you're in the dark, and I think there's that amazing, amazing Glennon Doyle I love. And she writes in her book Untamed that when there is pain and when there is waiting, there is a rising coming. And I feel that's like so true. It's like, you know, nothing lasts forever. Do you know what I mean? And then sadly, that includes being upbeat and all of that. You know, it's like everything's so transient, and you just got to kind of push through it. And it is undoubtedly was the best thing that happened to me, was getting that low that I had to make a decision. You know, I had to change, because if I didn't, I was going to lose everything. You know, that isn't a situation most people will be like, yeah, bring it on. Do you know what I mean? But if it hadn't have happened, I don't know how long I would have lived in this kind of like Groundhog Day existence of like just drinking and, oh no, I didn't want to think about it. So that's where the title comes from.
Fantastic. I had another little question for you. As a terrific journalist that writes for The Telegraph, how did you maintain your writing, which takes obviously like a huge amount of consciousness, with drinking and staying up at night and drug use and all of that sort of stuff? Was that something that you managed to maintain easily, or...?
No, I mean, I was like, I always say it was like, people used to tell me I had the constitution of an ox, but like, actually, I was a duck Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like, I looked serene above water, and I probably didn't look that serene, let's face it. And then I was like frantically paddling underneath, you know. And actually, that was probably one of the things that led me to get sober, because I knew I was, I was like, I'm going to get found out. I'm going to get found out. Mm. And I'd much rather find myself out than have someone do it for me, you know. And, you know, and I'm, I was, it, it, so it, you know, it is, sorry.
Don't worry.
Yes, okay.
I don't know why my phone is. Right, sorry, I've just said. Yeah, so I don't know how I managed to maintain it, but that is one of the things I wanted to get across, is that, you know, alcoholics take on, they look, we all look different, and we all have different experiences of alcoholism, and we, you know, it isn't, you know, sorry. That it isn't always, sorry, I'm just going to silence my phone. It isn't, yeah, we're not, you know what I mean? Like, I think we have this very unhelpful, rigid stereotype of an alcoholic, and it keeps a lot of people in alcoholism, because they're like, I can't be an alcoholic. I'm not drinking vodka out of a paper bag on a park bench. Do you know what I mean? And like, it's really unhelpful. I mean, that is one look of, that is one way an alcoholic looks, but it isn't the only way. And so that's why I wanted to kind of, like, life is, it's not sort of black and white, is it? It's a million trillion colours in between. And so I hope that if people can read that, they can, you know, you don't have to lose everything to get well.
Absolutely. What I love about your books is that it's just, they're the lifetimes you're living, from your first book to your second to your third, your mental health journey, and also that you're actually actively doing something about it. In fact, you're running in your underwear. You can. And I just want to get into that, because I'm a huge fan of yours on Instagram, and you really inspired me to go out there and run. And I'm a terrible runner, so, and I'm not yet running in my underwear, but how did that all come about?
I discovered running really, it was before I got sober. I signed up to do the London Marathon, and I'm thinking, this will help me to cut down my drinking, and it didn't. I mean, I stopped drinking for the duration of the actual marathon, but it was the thing that I noticed. There was like, I could see there was a different way to live. There was like, I could look after myself, or I could just carry on destroying myself. And so running has really been a real savior for me. And then I got sober, not long after my first marathon. And then I, you know, my friend Jada, who's a plus size model, was like, I want to do the marathon with you next year. And we, you know, we were curvier girls, and we were just out running one day, and we were like, let's do it in our underwear to show that, all, you know, you don't have to look a certain way to be a runner. And it kind of was, so we did the 2018 marathon in our underwear, and then it took off from there, really. And we've now got, like, last year we had 1,000 women running through London in on a 10K in their underwear. And it's really just about, like, it's not about, for me, exercise isn't about the way it makes me look, it's about the way it makes me feel, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one of the things I do. But I went out for a run this morning, and I was wearing more than my underwear.
Always an underwear thing.
Bryony, I just want to talk quickly about my mental health mates, because Lara and I made a decision when we started this podcast that we would give any proceedings to whatever charity our lovely guest will choose, and I'm thinking Mental Health Mates might be the one you'd like to pick.
Oh yeah, I'd love to.
Wonderful. If you could tell us a little bit about it.
Mental Health Mates is something I set up 4.5 years ago. I can't even believe that. So I've had really bad obsessive compulsive disorder since childhood, and depression, and which obviously led to the alcoholism and all of that. But I really wanted to meet other people like me out and about. And I knew, like, I didn't know any way of meeting other people that have mental health issues. Like, we hear all the time, the statistic, 1 in 4, 1 in 4. And I was like, but why can't I find any of the 1 in 4? So I had this idea of, like, why don't we meet up, go for a walk in the park? And I put it on Twitter. And to my astonishment, 20 people showed up. And now Mental Health Mates is like all over the country, nay, the world. Like we've
got 43,000 followers.
Amazing. And it's so it's just, so it's not like I really have very little to do with it now. Like my you know, it's the power of the walk leaders. You can go on the website, which is mentalhealthmates.com, and you can download a walk pack and you can set up a walk wherever you are and meet like-minded people, and you can go and walk and talk without fear of judgment. And the power of walking, I find, is like there's something about it, like side by side, you're not having to kind of, it's such a powerful thing. Like you see people turn up and they're like shivering, you know, nervous. And then by the end of it, they've like friendships and they're going for coffees. And it's just, it's so empowering. So, you know, check out, there's loads of walks around run by our amazing walk leaders. And if there isn't one local to you, you know, why not set one up yourself? It's free. It's about taking some power back over your mental health.
I love that. And I love that these movements can kind of work on their own and, you know, it can take on a life of their own. I think that's a real measure of success. We're going to have to finish up soon, but I wanted to ask you just one more thing before we go. Obviously, with your book coming out, for those that are thinking about buying it, what would you say the message that you were trying to get across for your book was? And if we can have any spoilers or anything for our listeners.
Okay, so I guess the message I'm trying to get across is that you are not alone, and however dark it gets, you can pull yourself back up into the lightness. So, I mean, the spoiler is I get sober.
Exclusive, you heard it here.
Yeah,
I don't really know, you know, like who knows what's going to happen next in my life, you know, that's yeah. Beauty. So yeah, it's really, it's just, I just want to help, you know, like I try to help make people feel good about themselves by talking about the things that have made me feel bad about myself. Yeah. And that's really you know, the kind of theme of Glorious Rock Bottom as well. It's kind of like,
last question I wanted to know is, we're in weird times. We're obviously still in somewhat of a lockdown-ish situation. What's your hope for the rest of the year?
Oh, God. I mean, I don't have any hopes for the rest of the year. I've totally written this year off. No, I haven't. I'm just like, I've accepted. And this is what doing a recovery program helps you. I've accepted that this year is just going to be a bit shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and so I'll be happy if I, you know, I went to Cornwall for a couple of weeks, so that was nice. I'll just be happy if I stay well and the people around me stay well, and roll on 2021, I say. Maybe just to be safe, roll on 2022.
Right?
Right, exactly. Bryony, thank you so, so much for taking the time out. I know you're super busy and you have so much going on, and your book is coming out in just 36 hours. So I want to say a huge thank you for agreeing to come on and speak to us. And anything that we have, we will contribute to your wonderful charity. And we are just very, very grateful that you took the time.
Thank you,
Bryony. Be at home with you.
We're in our closet. Hopefully we can meet in real life sometime and go on a walk with you.
Oh, that would be lovely. Thank you so much.
That was Bryony Gordon with an incredibly raw, beautiful interview. And
what a woman.
What a woman. What was your kind of takeaways from that?
Just so much hope.
Yeah.
Just so much bravery and non-judgmental. And I think you said that actually, that she's just not judgmental.
Yeah, I think what sparked me with that was that, you know, she's come across to the other side. She is sober now. And when we were speaking to her, she said, even though I am in this good place, I won't ever judge anyone no matter where they are in their journey. And that's a really hard thing to do.
Agreed.
It's very easy to judge. I think, I don't know.
Do you judge when you drink or no, you don't drink?
Yeah, I really do. I think that if I'm at a dinner table and I normally partake in having a glass of wine, but if I don't, I think I am holier than thou. I'm like, oh, look at all these people drinking. So, I mean, on a really real level, I think it is actually, in its truest form, very hard not to judge.
Yeah. And it's very, very hard to get sober. And that is
the truth. Yeah. And a lot of people do struggle with it. And especially lockdown hasn't been easy. And it was just awesome that she came on today. I really felt, even though obviously we didn't see her and this was a Zoom interview, I did feel like she was in the room with us. She's just so personable.
Yeah, she's got a really great friendly presence. And I think her outreach for others can also be seen through her amazing mental health mates. And I don't want to say it's an app, but it's an online community.
It's an online community of people meeting up and going for walks. And it's called My Mental Health Mates. And actually, first of all, I really want to go on it. I think the idea of, because you love walking, don't you? You walk every day, right?
I do. I think there's two elements of this that I think is really quite special. One, walking does clear your head. So the physical act of getting out of the house, and if you are especially suffering with any type of mental health, that's going to be therapeutic. But also to have someone talk while doing an action that makes either one of the two seem not such a big thing. It's not such a big thing getting the house to walk when you have someone else to help you. Yeah. And it's not such a big thing to talk when you're walking while you're doing it and taking your mind off it.
I completely agree. Totally agree. So guys, today is the big day. Go buy and get your book, Glorious Rock Bottom.
And if you like what you heard today, please subscribe, rate, and comment below, and we will be with you shortly.
Very shortly.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.